Okay, welcome back, friends. Welcome back to Corbett Report Radio. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and we are going to switch gears a little, as we tend to do here on Thursday nights. We're going to go into FoodWorldOrder.com, which is one of the many websites of the second hardest working man in alternative media, James Evan Pilato, of MediaMonarchy.com and HolyXs.com and CyberspaceWar.com and FoodWorldOrder.com and NewWorldNextWeek.com. He's got enough websites to start a small army of his own, so I hope you'll play along tonight and switch to FoodWorldOrder.com so you can read along with us some of these very interesting stories that he's got posted up. James, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks so much, man. I missed not being here last week.
That's right. It's been a little while, so I'm sure the listeners will have missed your dulcet tones. But I hope they at least caught your most recent podcast episode, which I understand has been quite the hit, and deservedly so. It was a great episode.
Yeah, it has. So, you know, you can never really plan which episodes are really going to take off, but I think sometimes when you finish an episode, you can kind of go, Yeah, that was a good one. So it's nice to then get the feedback. So for folks out there, that's episode 269 from MediaMonarchy.com. I call it Mind Games. James, we'll look at Food World Order. And you mentioned New World Next Week, and a lot of those articles you were just hitting in the previous segments are some of our related stories to the third and final story on our New World Next Week about the Canadian climate con, right?
Yeah, that's right. I got a little frustrated at the end there because there was so much to go through, but not enough time. So I figured, well, I'll use this soapbox to get it through.
So, James, let's take it from the Department of Good News. We have to have good news, and there is good news. Farmers markets keep growing. We'll take this from civileats.com, and it's right on track with what you've already been discussing tonight. The worst drought since the 1950s continues to wreak havoc on America's breadbasket, shriveling up commodity corn and soybean crops and driving up food prices. But there is heartening news from the local agriculture sector. Farmers markets are booming. Last week, the USDA released its annual update of the National Farmers Market Directory, which is now 7,864 markets strong. It's a 9.6% uptick since last year and more than double the number of markets since 2004. The latest tally was announced in preparation of National Farmers Market Week, which started this past Sunday and has been formally acknowledged by the U.S. Agriculture Secretary since 1996. As stated in a proclamation signed by Secretary Tom Vilsack, one of the goals of the week-long commemoration is to, quote, further awareness of the many contributions farmers make to daily life in America. I would say we always have some massive understatement of each episode. Hopefully this is that one. In addition to California, which far surpasses any other state with 827 markets, New York, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Wisconsin are the five most farmer market-centric states. The Mid-Atlantic region, Delaware, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, my home state of West Virginia, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania has experienced the most growth, a combined 15.8% increase of markets since last year. Over the years, farmers markets have been criticized for being exclusive dens of foodiedom, but access is changing, albeit slowly. As of last year, less than one-fourth of all farmers markets were equipped with wireless EBT technology to redeem SNAP, that's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamp vouchers. A $4 million USDA grant issued in May aims to make more markets SNAP voucher friendly. James, this is what we're talking about. This is the revolution. Not only happens, you know, in your refrigerator or in your medicine cabinet, it happens a block and a half away from me where the Irvington Farmers Market is. And hopefully it's happening a block away from where anyone else out there is.
Hopefully so. As we've said many times, this is the revolution, and you're exactly right. And we've talked about it many times that getting off of the big food, big supermarket chain store mentality is an absolutely essential part to all of this, because we fund our own enslavement to the system by giving them our dollars every day. But let's look at that. In addition to California, which far surpasses any other state with 827 markets, New York, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Wisconsin are the five most farmer market-centric states. That's interesting to me. As a non-American, what do I know? But those would not be the states that would necessarily come to my mind for most farmer market-centric. Where's Oregon?
That's a great question. That is a good question. I don't know where they fall on that list. It's possible you know, we're not quite big enough, maybe population-wise, right, to make it.
I'm wondering if that's per capita, but then you got like Wisconsin or something in there. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
And then with the other ones, maybe their growth, perhaps Oregon has already kind of been there, so yeah, we're not seeing the massive growth because we were hopefully kind of ahead of the curve.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I would assume that that it, like Portland, I'm sure there are many places out there with a lot of farmers markets, and I hope if you don't know your local farmers market that you make the effort to find out about it and start frequenting mm-hmm. it. Because, once again, that is the revolution.
So, James, we're, you know, you're talking about temperature, and it is, it's still 97 degrees right now, even at 7:30 at night here in Portland. We're having pretty much our hottest, I hope, week of the year. And I'm not a fan of the heat, and folks who, you know, have been following my work and following these shows for, you know, at least the last month know that I'm over a month now quitting smoking. I've had a lot of sleep issues, so then, of course, the heat, good Lord, does not help me. But it's, you know, getting better every day, and keep, you know, kind of fighting the fight. Should we continue?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Sorry, I didn't know what to say to that. But, yes, I just want to say good job. Yeah. Hang in there. And don't worry, it'll be over in a few days. You'll get rain. Tons of rain.
I hope so. Continuing on all the latest on foodworldorder.com, and again, always a huge thanks to my man Adam in Nova Scotia for keeping the site updated. He basically does all the standalone posts, and then I jump in here on Thursdays and post the big binge and purge, which we'll hit in the last segment. But from Mercola.com, James, fat, not glucose, is the preferred fuel for your body. And again, James, I've tried to make, you know, these positive changes, which, you know, I'll definitely get into even more tomorrow on my live show. The quitting smoking has been the one massive change that then, for me, set off, you know, kind of a chain reaction of other positive events. So then I see these stories and go, yeah, that, you know, that's right. While we may consider ourselves to be at the pinnacle of human development, our modern food manufacturing processes have utterly failed at improving health and increasing longevity. During the Paleolithic period many thousands of years ago, our ancestors ate primarily vegetables, fruit, nuts, roots, and meat, and a wide variety of it. This diet is high in fats and protein, and low in grain and sugar-derived carbohydrates. The average person's diet today, on the other hand, is the complete opposite, and the average person's health is a testament of what happens when you adhere to a faulty diet. I think just yesterday or 2 days ago, Alex Jones had a doctor on saying, you know, there's an epidemic of illness because everyone's food is terrible. Humans today suffer more chronic and debilitating diseases than ever before, and there can be little doubt that our food choices play a major role in this development. Quite simply, we're not designed to eat large amounts of refined sugar, high fructose corn syrup, cereal, bread, potatoes, and pasteurized milk products. As Mark Sisson states in a featured article, and again, all these links, everything will be provided for you. If you want to live a better life and eat the best foods nature provided for health and fitness, then it's time to ditch the old paradigms and climb on to the primal approach to eating better. James, I know, and I've thought of, and again, with the heat, it makes it kind of easier to go, well, I sure as hell don't want to turn on the stove. And you can have fruits and nuts and vegetables and you know, lots of wraps. And I'm like, oh, I'm out of almonds. It's so much better, James.
It really is. And that's one of the great things about living in Japan, because in the summer, it's just too hot to eat anything that even approaches hot. So there's a lot of just cool foods and things like that that are obviously much healthier than a lot of the crap that we eat on a regular basis. And it's so obvious to me that I mean, you just didn't have the 350-pound overly obese people walking around in such a wide sorry, that was a bad pun, in such large numbers. I don't know how else to say that. A few decades ago, or several decades ago, I mean, this is a recent phenomenon, and it's directly tied to the processed crap food that people are eating on a daily basis now. I think that couldn't be any more clear.
Mm-hmm. James, let's do an update on a story we did hit here 2 weeks ago. Man begins 30-day jail sentence for collecting rainwater on his own property. Gary Harrington, the Oregon man convicted of collecting rainwater and snow runoff on his rural property, turned himself in last Wednesday a week and a day ago, to begin serving his 30-day jail sentence in Medford, Oregon. Quote, "I'm sacrificing my liberty so we can stand up as a country and stand for our liberty," Harrington told a crowd of supporters gathered outside of the Jackson County Jail. James, I went to the dentist today, and of course, you know, you're talking about health issues, and they're, of course, you know, super excited about my quitting smoking and, you know, better eating and more exercise. The hygienist hadn't heard this story, and she, you know, it just, it blows people's minds when you tell them this, and they're just like, why? And I can't really exactly say why, other than we worry that, you know, Oregon's turning into some crazy New York-styled collectivist, you know, nightmare.
Right. And that's the point, isn't it? I mean, there's no one who hears that story and goes, good, I'm glad they got him. You know, damn, those people collecting rainwater. Obviously, it's the stupidest thing ever, but it functions because they don't tend to hype up and publicize these incidents. So it's good that there are sources like Food World Order drawing attention to these stories so that people can regain that sense of outrage, which is absolutely central to understanding that we are living increasingly in that police state and that we have to do something about it.
James, a brief one, and then we'll return to the outrage. Some Oregon outrage. How about that? Hashtag Oregon outrage. We'll put that out twitter.com/MediaMonarchy or at Corbett Report. From naturalnews.com, court forces chemo on 8-year-old Minnesota girl despite the family's desire to use alternative medicine. Where once it was rare for the courts of law to invade the privacy and purview of parents when it came to raising their children, in today's America, the wall between parental rights and the state's Leviathan is increasingly being dismantled by activists disguised as public servants. And this goes into a sad story in Minnesota. And James, this is one of those stories that I think, you know, I also cover on holyhexes.com when it comes down to, you know, parents who want to, you know, faith heal. And I think sometimes these stories get all kind of lumped together that basically if you don't want to put your kids through toxic, you know, pharmaceutical industrial complex chemotherapy, even if you're trying to do it the natural way, they can kind of lump it in and go, oh, you're some religious nut, right? You're just trying to pray over them and think everything's gonna be all right, right?
Yeah, well, this goes back to the very fundamental issues of health freedom, which I was looking at over the past several weeks on the eye-opener report for BoilingFrogsPost.com. The question is, who owns your body and who owns your children? And if the answer is not you, I think you would have to supply a pretty good reason why that's not so. And it's one of those things. Liberty is not always something that everyone's going to agree on. We don't have free speech, the First Amendment, because we want to talk about the weather. It's to talk about controversial things, right? I mean, it's so again, if you don't own your body, then the government can come in and do what they want with it, and same goes with your children.
Well, and then the same goes as we've hit our next story, and this is something that I think, you know, we're really gonna kind of take on and become, you know, more of a push and take an active, you know, move on this as I hold up my glass of filtered water. However, I haven't had to go out and get an extra fluoride filter because Portland has been one of the last big cities in America to not fluoridate the water. However, I got an email a couple weeks ago from a listener who gave me Dr. Paul Connett's information saying he wants to, you know, come out and go big and talk about this. A source from inside the Portland City Hall said, hey, they're about to do a big fluoride push in Portland. And about a week and a half later, here it is on OPB.org. That's Oregon Public Broadcasting. Fluoride in Portland water. And I posted along with the headline of the propaganda push begins. A council, or rather a coalition, supporting fluoridated drinking water has been working on getting a fluoridation proposal before the Portland City Council. Fluoride proponents say it's a substance that's been shown to reduce tooth decay and improve health. Opponents contend that the benefits are unproven and do not outweigh side effects, and that people should have a choice as to whether to ingest fluoride. Portland is the largest city in the nation not to add fluoride to a water supply. 39 public water systems in the state do fluoride, including Tualatin, Beaverton, and Salem. Residents of Philomath recently voted to bring fluoride back into its taps. And they closed by saying, you know, do you support adding fluoride to municipal drinking water? Why or why not? What are the most important science or policy questions on your mind? And this was the propaganda push on their Think Out Loud segment Tuesday or Wednesday here on OPB. James, ultimately, this is what it's all about. It's about our own personal freedom. If you think fluoride's so good, you go get it. You go do it. If you think the vaccines are great, you go get them. You go do it. Don't force your medicine on me by putting it in the very water that, well, I guess, you know, the other one, if you're going to put a guy in jail for collecting water, I guess maybe the water isn't all of ours, James. But I know you've done a ton of research on this. You've done entire episodes on the fluoride exception. So I've already started to put out the call and put out the numbers to City Hall. We're trying to track when they're actually going to put this up because, hey, guess what? I think we've voted it down in Portland three times in the past. So that's why they're basically doing an end run in City Hall and are basically going to try and cram it through without letting people say anything. But I think if we show up and show up big time and let them know, then hopefully we're going to be able to fight this off, James.
Well, I'll do what I can from here in Japan to help with that fight, and we should have Dr. Conant on again because he is a great guest on the subject. But all I can say is from my own personal experience, here's my deep confession. I lived in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, most of my life, and they started adding fluoride to the water supply in about 1989, which was when I actually left to go to a different city in that province. But I came back a few years later, and they were fluoridating. And in back 1998, 1999, somewhere around there, they had a plebiscite asking the people, do you want to continue fluoridating? And I was a young, stupid university kid who just didn't care about anything. So I said, well, I don't care. I have filtered water anyway, so what does it matter? So I didn't get involved in that, and I didn't campaign, and I didn't do anything to actually try to get the fluoride removed. And luckily, as people might know, Calgary did remove the fluoride last year, and that was one of the success stories. But I always feel a bit of guilt about the fact that back then, when it came up for a vote, I didn't even bother to vote, let alone to actually do anything about it. So I'm just to anyone out there in Portland or anywhere in one of those places where this is an issue and it's coming up for deciding, if you don't get involved in it, you're going to be kicking yourself for a lot of years to come. So take my advice and get involved in this.
When it comes right down to it, it's an industrial poison byproduct that they go, oh, what are we going to do with all this crap? Oh, let's sell it to people and put it in their water supply and make them think it's good for them. And James, you know, we'll make the obligatory, like you did on the podcast episode, you know, it's about our precious bodily fluids.
Indeed. All right, let's take a short break. We'll be right back to wrap things up after this break. All right, friends, welcome back to Corbett Report Radio on this sweltering hot evening and or morning, depending where you are in the world. But if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, I hope you're staying cool. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I envy you. As a Canadian, I much prefer the cool weather to the warm weather. But anyway, James, a couple more stories left. Let's get to it.
Couple more stories. We'll blast through it, and then we've got basically an announcement to make, James. A post from therealfoodchannel.com on the ultimate freedom, and that is food security, and that is, again, going back to making our own food. Meanwhile, we'll see that, you know, the big boys will always try and criminalize it because they've got the dough to throw around. But our massive binge and purge is called Nocebos, Mutants, Mess, and More. An interesting one from the New York Times is, again, I explain as I'm kind of going through my own kind of health changes, I find that then I see articles that kind of speak to me and are timely. Beware the nocebo effect. The non-existent side effects of a placebo can be real for a patient who expects to have them. So I'd implore folks to check that out. There's no way I'm going to read through the binge and purge. Again, like all these things, we implore folks to go check it out for themselves. Just some of the high points that I kind of brought out. G20 plans response as food prices climb, as worst drought in more than half a century devastates crops. UN calls on U.S. to halt biofuel production as drought devastates corn crops, as again, the biotech industry has their hand in the destruction that these droughts are causing. Monsanto donates $4.2 million to defeat the upcoming California GMO labeling initiative. I believe that's Prop 37 on the ballot coming up. India cancels Monsanto's GMO cottonseed license. Pfizer pays $60 million for bribing foreign doctors. And maybe this brings it full circle, James, from ClimateDepot.com. They applaud the VP pick, Paul Ryan, and his climate science views and his understanding of the ClimateGate scandal. James, do you know anything about that?
Well, it's not really. It's just another GOP candidate who will go along with what appeals to the GOP base. So, again, it's just left-right politics, so who really cares? And it's not a reason to vote for Ryan or Romney, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, but at least he's on the right side of one issue.
So, James, this is the sad part of this show, I guess, where I have to say, this is probably the last time I can do this with you, James, because I'm about to have a big change in my work schedule. And that's a part of what I'm going to basically make kind of a big announcement on my show live tomorrow morning. Some of the closer folks around me, James, you know what I'm talking about. Brock out there in Australia, he knows what I'm talking about. It's going to be awesome, but it's going to be a huge change and a huge effect on the media monarchy kingdom. Ultimately, it's not going away by any stretch. It's going to go through a transition, but I think it's going to be an amazing one, James. So, ultimately, you know, we've done 30 episodes of these Food World Order, and I love it, and I love doing it, and I'd hope that at some point we can maybe get back on track and maybe continue these, or even, you know, perhaps do one-off interviews on some of the food issues where maybe we'll kind of focus in on, you know, maybe some of the Portland issues that we brought up here on all these episodes, James.
Absolutely. Well, you have a standing invitation to be on the show whenever you can, if you ever can, with your new work schedule. And I'm looking forward to that episode and the announcement. And I hope people will tune in because it is a pretty big announcement. So good luck. And thank you so much for all of the work you've done here on Food World Order over the past 30 episodes.
Oh, man. James, it's my pleasure. All the time that you and I have together has been amazing. That's also not to worry, folks. New World Next Week ain't going anywhere. New World Next Week is money.
Absolutely.
We're
going to continue that. That is absolutely one of the most important things that I do and you do, so we'll definitely continue that. At any rate, well, let's not make a bromance out of it. I just want to say thank you once again for everything you've done, so good luck on your new work schedule, and we'll talk again in the future, and we'll talk on New World Next Week.
Yep. Thanks, man.
Take care. Good night, everyone.